If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
We'd like to take a moment to tell you about our sponsor, Anchor.
Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast.
It's free.
There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer.
Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more.
You can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership.
It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place.
So download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started. Now, let's get to the show.
My name is Grace Mulvey. I'm a comedian, human woman, and lifelong fad dieter. From the moment I walked out of my mother's womb, I've been on a diet. That's 31 years of no carbs, no sugar, and no crack. It's time to say enough already. Now, I'm not saying I'm a nirvana of self-love and acceptance, by the way. But I am saying that I'm no longer willing to spend all of my time, money, and energy on fad diets.
And I'm Connor Dowling, writer, filmmaker, and world-class warrior. Years of fitness models, crotch fiends, and get-thin-quick schemes have melted my brain and left me overweight and unimpressed. I've wasted years of my life obsessed with what I eat and how I look. So now, I finally know what's making me feel like crap all these years. Fad diets.
We are not health experts. I repeat, we are not health experts. We are just here to talk about and laugh at our experiences of bullshit diets.
Disclaimer, please, whatever you do, don't hurt yourself with any of these crazy weight loss topics we discuss in the show. This podcast won't make you thin, but it might make you laugh. Welcome to Fad Camp. Grace, oh my God, what's the story?
Connor, you're crazy. Our New Year's episode, can you believe? The last episode of season one of Fad Camp, and we're ending on an absolute corker.
You know what I think is incredible, Grace? The last time we saw each other in person was December 2019. And we were like, yeah, you had done your mob show, your improv show in Mob. And I came to see you with Darren. And we were just like, oh, God, let's, you know, be in touch in the new year and like see each other more and do sketches. And oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And then it was like, you know, I think we had a couple of calls and that sort of thing. And then obviously the pandemic happened in March and everything changed. But then when was it you came to me to do the podcast? Was it like in the summer?
That was in the summer. I was losing the will to live. And I was like, I need to do something creative, please. And we got this idea to do Fad Camp. Because all every time we have a conversation, it always comes back to what diet we're on, what diet we were doing. And I always just think as well, like, I was like, people don't point out how ridiculous these diets are because no one wants to admit that they did them or like that they bought into this crazy shite. And actually, it's so funny. Anytime I talk to you about it, it was such a good crack. So, yeah, that's when we decided to do this. And then I can't believe it. We actually got to the final. Like, I never followed through on anything.
But we've done.
I followed through on this.
I think it's amazing because we've done an entire season, an entire first season of a smash hit successful podcast without ever seeing each other in person. Isn't that crazy? We've done it all through Zoom for anyone listening, you know. And we're great pals, but because of the pandemic, we just weren't able to see each other at all. So I think it's really, you know, just to give ourselves a little bit of a pat on the back there to start off the new year and go, look what you can be capable of if you just are really organized and passionate about something.
But you know what? That's a funny thing because that's such a different attitude to come into New Year's with. Because you know, New Year's resolutions are always about going, I'm a piece of shit and I need to change.
Last year was a failure.
Last year, like every year before, was an utter failure.
Everything up until now, scrap it and let's start again.
The project that is my life, put it in the bin and we're starting from scratch. No, but you're so right. Like, the fact that it didn't even occur to me until you just said it. We haven't seen each other. Everything that we've done for this podcast has been done remotely. But it does show you that when you are doing something you enjoy or if you really want to get something done, you can do it, even in the most trying of circumstances. And like, I'm sure if we listen back to the first few episodes, the recordings of the quality, probably we've gotten better thanks to Darren Lee, who'll be on the episode later. Has gotten better because we've gotten better at it. But the first time, I will say, for the first episode when we were recording, when I was editing with Darren, and basically me watching Darren edit and curse, it was horrendous. Like, we were there for like 2 hours. It was horrendous. I hate the sound of my own voice more than I do now. But do you know what? I have to say, anyone listening, right? This is going to be a New Year's episode. New Year's, we're talking about New Year's resolutions because they're so fad diet heavy. But this one, we want to kind of concentrate a bit more, trying to change New Year's resolutions a bit. And actually pat yourself on the back of stuff that you did well this year. And like me, as me and Connor just said, we have a smash hit podcast.
Household
no one
name.
Can deny it.
Household name.
Household name.
And if people stick around until later on in the show, I have a very interesting technique for really giving yourself a great chance at sticking to your New Year's resolutions. So stick around to hear that.
Are you
I have all of the answers, Grace. For just $49.99, they could be yours.
Yeah, I can't believe it, Connor. I didn't know you were selling something on the show.
I'm a guru. Okay. I'm a guru.
Anyway, okay, New Year's resolutions. Connor, are you a fan of New Year's resolutions? Just a quick one.
I'm a big fan of goal setting and kind of having things to aim for throughout the year. Over the years, I've kind of, you know, had a lot of ups and downs, like the average person with, you know, you make the resolutions and they're hard to stick to and then you feel like crap and a failure for not sticking to them and all that. I feel like I've gotten better at it over the years and definitely in recent years at kind of like managing my expectations, but still also kind of aiming for the things I want to achieve. But at the start of every year, I will sit down like with a notebook and kind of just look at the different areas of my life, my you know, career, my health, my, travel, things like that, and see what's possible this year. And not many of those things were achieved in 2020 for various reasons. but still, I think it's always important to have goals and to be able to adapt to whatever's going on in your life.
Yeah, I think, well, 2020, it was obviously a big one because like it showed that there was a viral video went around of a woman who read her New Year's resolutions from 2019. And they were, it's hysterical. If you can find it online, it's really, really good. But 2020 just show you that like, no matter how hard you really plan, like it'll blow up in your face, but you can make some good stuff from the wreckage of that as well. But I wanted to, let's go a little bit into the history of New Year's resolutions before we start talking about our ones. So, the history of the New Year's resolution. The ancient Babylonians are said to have been the first people to make New Year's resolutions some 4,000 years ago. Yeah, 4,000 years ago, okay? You thought you were unique. You're not unique at all, Connor, okay?
This I thought it was 4,000 like years. 50 years max, like the 50-year Babylonians.
Like 50 years ago, Coca-Cola and the Babylonians were like, listen, we need a new marketing technique. Yeah. Okay. They were also the first to have to hold recorded celebrations in honor of the new year. Though for them, the new year began not in January, but mid-March, when the crops were planted. Okay,
makes sense.
Yeah. During a massive 12-day religious festival known as, and I'm going to butcher this, sorry, Babylonians.
Yes, you are.
Akatu, the Babylonians crowned a new king or reaffirmed their loyalty to the reigning king. They also made promises to the gods to pay their debts and return any objects they had borrowed. These promises could be considered as the forerunners for New Year's resolutions. If the Babylonians kept their word, their gods would bestow favor on them for the coming New Year. If they didn't, they'd fall out of their gods' favor. Not a place you want to be.
So what you're saying is they also had like celebrities and influencers that they were trying to impress and copy even 4,000 years ago.
Their gods were our version of Instagram, is essentially, you know what I mean? That's what they considered their gods, was them being like, I need to get as many likes off my god as possible.
So apparently the history of New Year's resolutions continued in ancient Rome. The old Romans, who doesn't love them? Emperor Julius Caesar, my man, introduced a new calendar in 46 BC, which declared January 1st as the start of the new year. This new date honored Janus, like anus with a J, a two-faced god. That's how it's spelt. I'm just, because my pronunciation might be a little off.
Yeah.
So Jay Anus, a two-faced god who symbolically looked back into the previous year and forwards into the new year. The Romans would offer sacrifices to Janus and make promises of good behavior for the year ahead. New Year's resolutions were also made in the Middle Ages. Knights would renew their vow of chivalry by placing their hands on a live or roasted peacock. The annual peacock vow would take place at the end of the year as a resolution to maintain their knighthood values. Jesus.
Yeah, I know. A live or roasted peacock.
Either or.
Listen, imagine one guy, like one knight shows up. Listen, I didn't have time to roast the bloody thing. Okay, yeah. We're doing
well,
it live.
Let's do it live. Yeah. Let's just do it live.
Yeah,
that's actually where Comedy Central first started doing roasts as well. They were like touching the peacock.
So not only is this the history of the New Year's resolution, but it's also the history of Comedy Central's roasts. New Year's resolutions appeared to be common by the 17th century. So in 1671, New Year's Scottish writer Anne Hockett wrote a diary entry that contained several pledges such as, "I will not offend anymore." Okay, she wrote in her diary on January 2nd and titled the page Resolutions. So this is going back quite a while.
Wow, Anne.
But for early Christians, the first day of the new year became the traditional occasion for thinking about one's past mistakes. Total Christianity Catholicism move. Not about like trying to be a new person, just considering your old mistakes.
Just guilting yourself into change. Okay, I like it.
Absolutely. And they would resolve and like want to better themselves for the future. Okay.
Amazing.
Also, they started doing kind of like on New Year's instead of like going out and celebrating the New Year's and having a raucous old time. In 1740, English clergyman John Wesley considered the covenant renewal service would be held on New Year's Eve. And this would basically be where they'd do like watch night services where they'd read from the scriptures, sing hymns, basically an alternative to having any crack on New Year's. Okay?
Sounds like a bit of a session. They're singing songs. They're drinking a little bit of that altar wine. Body of Christ.
If they're getting any of that altar wine. Body of Christ. I like that. That it's like a DJ at the service. Like, Body of Christ. Welcome to Mass. Welcome to Mass this New Year's Eve. The Body of Christ. So that's kind of where, you know, Christianity brought it in and, you know, dampened it. But that's where New Year's came.
They love getting their hands on pretty much everything, don't they? They're like, yeah, let's do this, except make it Christian. Let's make it Jesus.
Anytime that you hear Christianity took over a certain celebration, it always went from they were out all night in the forest, having the crack, like riding. And then Christians came in and were like, well, we love all of that, except we took all the fun out of it and we just sat and had a pray.
By 1802, the tradition of making and failing to keep New Year's resolutions was common enough that people satirized the practice. Walker's Hibernian magazine wrote a series of joke resolutions such as, "Statesmen have resolved to have no other object in view than the good of their country." That's a good one. Oh, those statesmen are godless. They are so godless. A Boston newspaper from 1813 featured the first recorded use of the phrase New Year resolution. The article states, "And yet I believe there are multitudes of people accustomed to receive injunctions of New Year resolutions, who will sin all the month of December with a serious determination and beginning the new year with new year resolutions and new behavior and with the full belief that they shall thus expiate and wipe all their former faults."
That's literally what I say to myself every single New Year's Eve.
That's, you know, a mantra,
that
isn't
mantra.
It?
Yeah, an absolute mantra. Despite the tradition's religious roots, New Year's resolutions today are mostly a secular practice. So instead of making promises to gods, most people make resolutions only to themselves and focus purely on self-improvement, which may explain why they're actually so hard to keep and follow through on.
Right.
According to recent research, at least 40% of people in the United States set New Year's resolutions, while 22% of people in the UK aim for self-improvement with a resolution. While the research also shows that 80% of people break their resolutions by the first week of February, and only 8% are successful in achieving their goals at all. Another one that I actually saw that was quite crazy, a statistic, was the uptake of like gym memberships is it, like gym member, basically gyms make most of their money in January. Yeah. People taking really expensive, you know, gym memberships and stuff like paying in, right? 67% of them go unused.
Wow, that's incredible.
Isn't that nuts? Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of people basically, because a lot of gyms will get you to pay for the year up front.
Yeah.
So they kind of know like, hey, if you stick to it, great, good for you. But if you don't come ever again, that's fine. We've got your money. So don't worry. But your money is safe with us.
Yeah. Invest your money in this treadmill in our gym and we'll keep it.
Yeah.
And you'll never arrive. But they make most, and then if a lot of people aren't showing up, they still have that money. They're still making it off you. It's a funny thing because like, I just think that people always think I'm the only one who does this. But actually, yes, when you see the statistics, these things seem to be setting you up for failure.
And I think it kind of feeds into this idea that we've talked about in the past as well, where when you feel like you're investing in a new regime, whether it's, you know, expensive diet pills or workout clothes or a gym membership, you feel like you're investing in yourself and therefore you'll stick to it. But sometimes weirdly, no matter what kind of wages you're on, sometimes the money can be the easiest thing to part with. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's like,
quick, I'll just throw money that I don't have at this thing and then run away. Just run away from it.
In fact, the running away is probably the most benefit you're getting out of the diet and exercise that you were. No, it's so true. For some reason, the actual paying of it makes you think that you're doing it.
I think it's done.
I paid for it. Well, okay, when looking up the statistics, right, can you just even guess, right? Say the top three. What do you think the top three New Year's resolutions are for anyone? Like, most popular.
Okay, well, like I would say eating healthy, going to the gym, quitting smoking, maybe.
That is ridiculous. That is spot on.
Are you serious?
Okay, so, oh my God, it's spot on. Okay. This is what I find so funny, right? I was looking at this. It was so sad. This one is now specific for Ireland, but there's like the ones in the, when I looked then worldwide, it was pretty much the same deal. Every single country had the same exact New Year's resolution.
Wow.
Being the top one, and the first one would be lose weight. And like the fact that was the top one for every country, okay, it was the top one by far. So it would be like in 2014 for the Irish one, okay, it was like 28% of people who were making New Year's resolutions said losing weight was their top one, okay? But when I looked at the States, it was like something like 56%. Like basically losing weight not only was the top one, but it was the top one by far, the highest percentage of people were going for it. Then it was get fit, then giving up smoking. But the bottom one, the bottom one was like spend more time with my family and friends. And that just made me so sad.
Oh my God.
Because I was like, God, we put such a high emphasis on the way we look that actually spending time with our loved ones was at the bottom of the list of all the things we want to achieve.
Ironically,
and it was for every country. Like,
ironically, a lot of people are probably trying to lose weight so their families will love them more. You know?
Yeah.
So in a roundabout way, it is to spend more time with their loved ones. It's just we can't state that out loud.
There'll just be less of you to spend time with your loved ones. That's the way you have to look at it. But it really reinforced the idea that we've continually talked about, which is that diet culture is so rampant that before even getting healthy, it was lose weight. Lose weight was the top one. Then exercise more was the second. But then under that was actually being healthier. So it wasn't even like...
Sure, it wasn't the
being
priority.
Being healthy being the priority. It was losing weight is the priority. And that is incredibly scary because I was like, so is there any place in the world where people think they look good, are happy in their bodies? Because what are we trying to all get to? Is there one body that we're like, that's the body, we should all be that body? Because I'm kind of confused now about why we all think we're such messes.
I wonder what people who are already in really good shape put as their New Year's resolutions. Do they just have free headspace to think about, you know, oh well, I've nailed that. That was my New Year's resolution like 10 years ago, and I've nailed that. So now I'm going to focus on, I don't know, taking over the world. Or do they just have some other kind of insecurity that's been drilled into them throughout their life that they're like, well, I'm going to sort that out this year?
I want to know what The Rock's New Year's resolution is. Like, is his New Year's resolution like to have like three more muscles on his back that didn't exist before? Like, I want to know, like, does he want an extra buttocks or something? Like, I want to know what his
an extra New Year's, because
well, the man's building so much muscle, I'm sure he could make an extra buttocks from the muscle, the spare muscle he has. But like, yeah, you're so right. Like, what are their New Year's resolutions? But the funny thing is, people who also tend to be, and this is how destructive body dysmorphia and all this sort of stuff is, the people who are even in that great, great shape still go, oh, I want to be able to not only like hold up a like an insane barbell, but I want to be able to like, you know, dance while doing it. They're like, I want my like bicep to be twice the size that it is.
Yes.
Everyone has something. I have yet to meet someone who's like, no, do you know what? I'm fit and I'm just happy to be at this place and just, I'm just happy the way I look right now. No change is necessary.
Everyone.
And if you're listening, if you're listening and you do feel like that, delighted for you. Yeah.
Everyone is chasing that second buttocks. That's, you know.
It would be very handy to have a spare buttocks, I will say that. You know when you sit for too long and your bum goes dead, you could just get the spare one out and, you know.
That's going to be my New Year's resolution now. Thanks for implanting that seed. Yeah, and you know, I think the frustrating thing about it is, like you say, for everyone, there probably are people who are in really great shape who, after Christmas, after the year, you know, go, well, first thing is got to get back to the gym, got to get back to my desired shape or fitness level. And it just so happens that this time period comes right after a month of being bombarded with treat yourself this Christmas, you know, feast, overeat. Yeah. Like you're encouraged to stuff your face.
Oh, you're completely encouraged to overeat, which is actually not a good thing. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, enjoy yourself. Indulge is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Everyone should indulge at some point in their day, life, year.
Yeah.
But like, to actually be like, stuff yourself to the point of discomfort is not a great thing to say to anyone. You know?
Exactly. Because I think there is probably also a bit of a thought in the back of the head going, oh, well, sure, you know, I can do whatever I want now, as in I can go overboard now over Christmas, because in January, from January 1st, it's off the drink, it's off the smokes and it's back to the gym and eating salads for as long as I can handle it.
Yeah. And like, I think, do you know what? You are describing exactly my mentality.
Totally.
Of like when I hit that New Year's, I am literally like, and then tomorrow I won't even be able to smell chocolate, let alone look at it ever again. Like, I'm not touching it until the day I die. That mentality is so sick. Actually, one thing I want to bring up, because I saw this online, I thought it was so funny, just because we were talking about The Rock and stuff. Say, like, if you were out there and you asked a lot of women who's their, like, ultimate, I don't know, figure that people look up to. At the moment, it's the Kardashians. The Kardashians have, the last, like, 10 years, the Kardashians have changed the ideal body type. And I say ideal with, like, inverted commas there. But you know what I mean? It's the way things have been updated. Kim Kardashian, like, there was a thing that went viral where she, like, commented on some girl's Instagram. And it was, like, I think she's, like, a soap actress. But she has these like really cool, but she has very like toned legs, like built toned legs, right? And Kim Kardashian was like, oh my God, I'm so jealous of your legs. They're gorgeous. I'm constantly trying to build my legs and nothing. And the girl was like, oh, thanks a million. And now listen, that's a nice little exchange between two women who don't know each other. But what I was like, oh, even you.
Yes.
Even you who we deem the ideal in our society are like, oh yeah, there's a part of my body I hate. Like, we're all chasing something that is just not, you know what I mean, like realistic. Yeah.
I thought that story was going to end with this poor woman being like killed by an angry mob of internet trolls and her legs were like stolen and given to Kim Kardashian. Are you sure that's not what happened?
She hasn't been seen again. And I don't know about you, but Kim Kardashian's legs are looking amazing these days.
I don't know about you, but I am getting those legs for Kim Kardashian. She gets what she wants, okay?
Yeah. She's earned it, okay? She's had a tough year. Her husband didn't become president. That's a very tough thing to, a bitter pill to swallow. Actually, a friend of mine, we're going to go into the New Year's stories here, but a friend of mine reached out and said that her personal trainer sent her a message to say, when she found out we were talking about this, to say that last New Year's, her personal trainer was out on a night out on New Year's at 1 minute past 12 on the 1st of January. She got a text from a new client asking when she can go, when she can set up a session with her.
And I'm outside right now.
Yeah. And your personal trainer was like, I'm in a club right now. Like,
oh my she
was
God.
Like, part of her was like, I admire your commitment, but also like, I hear this is taking the piss. It's 1 minute past midnight and you're like, I need a session now. Got to get in shape.
That's the absolute kind of concentrated experience of so many people. You know, it's just that's just the epitome of the desperation, that it's like as soon as it goes past midnight, everything's changing. I'm throwing stuff in the bin. I'm booking my gym appointment. And I think it's reflective of this thing from our Bible, our diet culture Bible, the anti-diet, the book by Christy Harrison, which is a top recommendation for anyone who's worried about their weight or how they can move forward in the new year. But she talks about the Last Supper mentality, you know, and it's this idea that, okay, I'm going on a diet on Monday, so on Sunday, I'm just going to go all out. I'm just going to eat everything in the fridge. I'm going to get takeaway. I'm going to eat all the stuff that I won't be able to eat over the next few weeks or for the rest of my life. And you end up kind of binging and eating too much and eating not great foods. And then you feel like crap the next day, which is the first day of your like healthy life. And, you know, we all know kind of how it goes.
Do you ever feel, I want to ask you this, because I've done that many a time. The Last Supper could describe literally my last 31 years of my life. It has been the Last Supper. Did you ever binge eat so much that the next morning you'd actually feel a bit hungover? Like, I wouldn't have drank, but it's like I felt hungover.
Totally. Yeah. And there's probably some sort of sugar come down happening there. You know, your body's in overdrive digesting all of that like cardboard that you ate. You know,
the 50 Shades of Beige that I ate last night. That's what I always call it. Whenever, like, you know, when you order a pizza and it's like wedges, chips, I'm like, 50 Shades of Beige. Like, it's literally
all the same color.
But no, I genuinely remember that feeling of actually feeling hungover. And that's the fun. That is, January is the hangover of December because we are all trained. And this is the first Christmas, might I add, because of that book, the anti-diet book, this is the first Christmas where I'm not really doing the binging of eating. I'm really enjoying, like I have a cheese platter that I got a few really nice cheeses in because I'm in my 30s now and that's my big wild night.
That's your treat.
Saturday night. That's my treat. But I'm really looking forward to that later and like a bottle of red wine. But usually that would be like, and on top of that, I'll get like a deep fried cheesecake and I'll, you know, like get a river of chocolate. But I'm like, now I'm just like, oh, that's going to be so much fun later. Can't wait to eat it. But I don't have that mentality of, well, then I better do a 20K tomorrow. And then on top of that, sure, if I'm going to have the cheese, I might as well get 20, you know, pizzas in or whatever as well.
Like, I just had this image of you on Christmas Day waving a big truck into your front garden going, just back it up here, guys. The river of chocolate.
Imagine it's like the Coca-Cola truck. I'm just imagining the Santa Coca-Cola truck. And I'm like, beep, beep, just pour it in, just hook it to my veins, guys. Come on.
I totally agree. And it's funny that you said that because I think in recent years, you know, like when you're a kid, at Christmas, it's such a magical time of food, you know, there's mallows, there's cakes, there's roses, there's biscuits, there's crisps, there's cans of Coca-Cola. Yeah. There's stuff that maybe you're not allowed normally have at midnight on a Wednesday, you know, but
you're allowed to stay up and watch the toy show. You know what I mean? All this sort of stuff. You're allowed to do that. Yeah,
exactly. So there's so much of that stuff around food as well. And nowadays, when you're an adult, you don't have to like wait for your parents to like buy a box of chocolates or something like that. You can go to the shop and buy boxes of biscuits and Pringles and all that crap. And I think in previous years, I've kind of had this almost panicked kind of mentality where coming up to Christmas, I'll be like, well, I'm not going to be able to eat, you know, XYZ, roses, crisps and all that sort of stuff in the new year. So I better get that stuff now. And then other people in your house buy it as well, or someone gives it to you as a gift. And next thing you're like saddled with all of these, like, you know, boxes of chocolates and stuff like that. You're like, well, I guess I better dispose of these the only way I know how.
I better get rid of them. They have to be out of my house before before this, and I mean, like, I'm like Cinderella. I'm like the inverse of Cinderella, where it's like at midnight I'm going to turn into Cinderella. Before that, I am the pumpkin. Like, I, you know what I mean? But you feel like I need to get rid of, I'm basically the bin, and I need to get rid of all this before the clock strikes 12 and I'm into the new year.
I'm like a coke dealer flushing their stash down the toilet when the FBI are outside. You know, I'm just like, quick, shovel it into my mouth, destroy all the evidence. Like,
the New Year's are the FBI.
They're coming for you.
One other thing I want to say, because I thought it was so interesting that you mentioned, you know, when you were a kid, that magical time. If you're also a child who had weight problems or had weight or was a fat child, let's just say it, as I was, Christmas was probably the one time you weren't judged for eating.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, adults wouldn't say anything about what you ate. They wouldn't mention how much you were eating because you were allowed to eat as much as the other children without judgment.
Yes. So oh my God. Nail on the fucking head, Grace. Nail on the head.
And it's like thinking back, it used to just be a time where I was like, oh, no one's going to say, God, Grace is a bit stout, or you should put her on a diet. And by the way, adults would say that around me. I just think adults, particularly in the 80s and 90s, for some reason thought children were deaf and couldn't hear them when they talked about them around them. But like Christmas genuinely was, along with like maybe Easter when you got your Easter eggs, was the only time you were allowed to be like with the other children without comment. And I think if a lot of kids who have weight issues or whatever, or fat children or just bigger children, tend to be bigger adults. You know, whether it's your body's type or whatever, or you get stuck in this whole diet culture cycle. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you never get to trust your body or be allowed to be the person you are because you're a bigger person or you're a fat person. So no one likes that in society. I like that, by the way. I'm just saying that's the attitude. So, you know, when you become an adult, it's like that time of year again where it's okay for you to actually be like, oh, I'm allowed to eat. I'm allowed to do what other people do and I'm allowed to enjoy it without judgment because everyone's doing it.
Well, I think that's such a so well said, and I really appreciate you saying that. And I relate to that so much, and I know so many people will relate to that as well. And you also just made me think, like, even every now and again, I'll just remember something some weirdo adult said to me when I was a kid. Yeah. And I'm like, if I said that to a kid now, I would be trending on Twitter in like 10 minutes.
What were they playing at? There was a different standard to parenting in the 80s and 90s than there is now. Like, now, listen, I do think for some reason, and we're still bad at it, but for some reason we thought it was okay to comment on a child's weight and appearance in front of the child.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, I had aunties and uncles say it to my parents. And like, by the way, like, they weren't doing it maliciously. They thought they were doing the right thing. But you know what I mean? Like, I just remember people being like, oh, she's very big, isn't she? Or she, you know, like, and...
Or they'd say it to you. Oh, you're very big for your age, aren't you?
Yeah. What? Or like, literally, one time I got, what age are you? And I was like, oh, I'm 11. And they were like, oh, God, you very big for 11. And I was like, okay, thank you.
You're like, they're like, what age are you? You're like, I'm 11. And they're like, oh, I thought you were 14, Stone. I mean, 14.
I thought you looked 14 stone. I meant 14 years old. My apologies.
I meant you're fat. I meant to say, I mean.
Sorry, I meant you offend my eyes. No, I mean. But yeah, no, I remember one time, this is one time I was doing Irish dancing at the time.
Oh, no way. I didn't know you did Irish dancing.
Oh, sure. Like every child, I don't know. I feel like every child at like 7, 8, 9 had to do Irish dancing.
Well, I feel deprived now. I feel deprived of Irish dancing.
What were you doing?
I was just getting beaten up in various sports around Ireland. You know, send Connor down to rugby and let them beat him up for a few weekends and then he'll give that up. And then,
send it
to GAA and, you know, get beaten up.
So did you try hurling as well? Like, what?
Oh God, no.
You...
Jesus, no. I think they knew. I think they saw me coming and they're like, no. They just, you know, maybe let him watch a musical or something like that. He'll be happy enough there.
I like the thought of you on the pitch and every time the ball comes, you just burst into song. I did Irish dancing, but I remember one time I went over to a neighbour's house with my mum and to borrow her daughter's Irish dancing uniform. By the way, to anyone who just no. Irish dancing uniforms cost a ton of money, and I was
have
doing
a really
like
bad feeling about where this story's gone.
Oh, so anyway, right, the daughter was older than me, so the assumption was I would fit into dress, because I think I was like 8 and she was like 14. Anyway, it didn't fit, and in the kitchen they had maybe put it on in the kitchen with her the daughter watching, the mum watching, my mum watching. Didn't fit, and then in front of me, the neighbour turned to my mum and went, "You need to put her on a diet."
Oh, that's so traumatic for a person.
Yeah, like I was like, cool, this is good. My life is going well. But like, you know, all of that stuff, it's a weird thing where I'm like, I feel like even now, I just now won't comment on anyone's weight.
Same.
Like, it doesn't matter what age you are, mm-hmm. like where you're from, I don't care. I will not comment on your weight. Like, what's the point? Even if someone is skinny, I find it weird. I think the same thing happens to very skinny people, where people feel okay to go, oh, you need to put on weight, like you need to add something to your bones. Like, it's not a okay thing to say to anyone.
People are obsessed with what they think is right for someone else's weight and body type. And it does feel like a bit of a one size fits all. And, you know, what's more is like, you could like affect someone's diet progress by saying, by giving them what you think is a compliment. You know, you could say, oh, you know, you've lost weight, or like how much weight have you lost or whatever, and they're like trying to kind of do it under the radar, and they've like lost a few pounds, and then they can kind of go, it can kind of have this adverse reaction where people will go, oh yeah, everyone's telling me I look great, so I don't have to diet anymore. You know, I know that's down to the individual at the end of the day.
It's so funny, yeah. But actually, you know, I always remember this, that I was working in 2FM at the time when Louise McSharry was diagnosed with cancer, and she talked about this afterwards, but she said the amount of people who complimented me on my weight loss.
Oh God, yeah.
And I've been diagnosed with cancer. And I was like, yeah, you actually have no idea. This weird thing. That's what I mean. The number one New Year's resolution is lose weight. It is not be healthy.
Yes.
That there is a difference between losing weight and being healthy. Like people have consistently, people are just obsessed about the look, not actually about the health. And that's the issue. Anyway, listen, I'm going to go into a few New Year's stories a few of my past New Year's stories. Sorry. I went around to a few people and a few things that came back. Always, you know, we asked people like, what is, you know, past New Year's diets and exercise you've bought into out of pure pressure? You know what I mean? A lot of them said gym memberships. That was the biggest one. Gym memberships, and you're paying huge amounts. You go. And also, by the way, the gym in January is a nightmare.
Oh, God,
you cannot get a class. You can't, like, it's actually, the gyms are, they take on too many memberships. You end up kind of not being even able to comfortably work out. And now, obviously, with COVID, things are going to change quite a bit because you can't have so many people packed into one room. But gym memberships were number one. Challenges, 30-day challenges. This was a big one. So, of course, you come into January, you start the 30-day challenge. Now, I once did a squat challenge for 30 days. I like couldn't feel my lower part of my body after like day 10. Like, I was like, it's not natural that I would do like 1,000 squats in like 3 days.
After like, having done none the previous month.
Yeah, like, you know, my poor legs. Like, I just felt like I woke up one day and I was like banging my legs to try and wake them up.
No. What was the goal? Like, was it doing like 10 every day or do one the first day? Or
no, it was like build. You do like 50. Like
every day?
You weren't? Oh, you do like the first day you might do 30. Or no, you do three sets of 30. And then the next day you maybe do like two sets of 50. No, I'm telling you, Connor, by the end it was like 200 squats. Like, it was insane. Like, as in, I felt like I'd be wheelchairing my way into day 30. Like, I couldn't feel my legs.
Oh my God.
And they have these 30-day challenges with everything. So like, one of my friends does yoga, 30-day yoga challenge, which, by the way, sounds like a nice challenge, you know, pick up some yoga every day.
Yeah.
But she did say the videos, because they're like a YouTube thing, she said the number of drop-offs from day 1 to day 4. You know what I mean? Like, as in, like, everyone comes in going, because, like, by the way, this idea that like 30 days, like, you're January, you have a life. Like, just because you have a resolution doesn't mean that it should take over, that you get to be like, oh, well, I have to do 30 days so I can just pretend I don't have kids. And like, you know what I mean?
No wonder people aren't spending time with their families. Like, sorry. Can't make your soccer practice. I got to do some squats.
Yeah. Listen, I haven't seen my loved ones for a year, but my ass.
I have a second buttocks.
Toned. I have a second anus now because my anus. So toned. Like the two-faced Roman god Janus. I have a second anus.
I have grown a new orifice.
Yeah, so the 30-day challenge is very big in January as well. Other ones, obviously, personal trainers get, I'd imagine their busiest time is January.
Totally.
Getting texts at 1 minute past midnight on New Year's Eve. The next one that I found very interesting, and this is one that I got, buying a Wii Fit.
Oh, yeah.
So I bought a Wii Fit 1 year. It was when it came out. I remember it costing €129.
Okay.
I remember that very distinctly in my head. I used it 3 times. Like, I used it 3 times.
Yeah.
3 times. And, like, I think I was playing tennis. And I was like, I'd rather just play tennis than play tennis on this. Like, I was just, do you know what I mean? It was a weird one. And then I just sort of did a dance mat on it. Like, it was very, very little. A lot of people who I asked said they used the Wii Fit maybe once or twice for actual exercise and then just played Super Mario Kart after that. You know?
At the start of this at the start of the pandemic, we got a PlayStation Move, you know, and it's basically like a Wii Fit for the PlayStation. And there was this fitness game, EA Sports fitness game that came with it. And this is a game that came out a few years ago, but it has like, you know, it comes with like, you know, motion detectors and heart monitors and stuff that you wear while you do your workouts. And like, I started off on like, and I was like, this is great. You know, I can't go to the gym, you know, want to get in shape while I'm in the lockdown and all. And I started off on like the lowest level, you know, to ease myself into it.
Okay.
The next day, I could barely walk, Grace. I was in bits.
What were they like, doing?
I got ripped
a new anus.
I have to spend all my time taking care of the second buttocks. It's just, it's really time consuming. But you name it. Like there was jump rope exercises, which is a favorite of mine, as we know.
Yeah.
There was squats. There was, you know, sit ups. There was just all of those kind of body weight kind of exercises that you could think of. There was weights. There was things with weights. But it was literally like a 40-minute video game workout. And I think what happens as well is the motion detectors on them are not the best. Like, I mean, they work, but sometimes they don't pick you up. So you might have to do the same like 20 sit-ups to like, you know, let the thing that you get your targets and move on to the next level of the game, essentially. So you could be like, you can be there doing like 100 sit-ups when you're like only trying to get 20 done or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I swear to God, like I used it once because it destroyed me physically. This was like day one beginner. I haven't been working out in weeks, months probably. And I could not walk for like a week, maybe 2 weeks. I was in bits. And I was just like, fuck that. I'm not going to do that again because it's only going to get harder in levels, you know?
But see, this is the thing as well that I hate with exercise. We were talking about this before. This idea that that's level one and there's right 40 minutes of torture. And you're like, actually, why don't we start off nice and slow here and maybe do fucking 2 squats? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like my friend, by the way, just pulled her back. She went to the gym for the first time, obviously, during the second lockdown. The gyms are back open now. So she had not been in about 2 weeks. She went to pick up a really heavy weight and pulled her back. And you know when you're like, I know that sounds so simple, but like, if you have not been moving and then go straight into trying to do something crazy, you're going to hurt yourself. That's nuts. Okay, so Wii Fit being a big one, people saying that they only used it a few times to like play tennis and then ended up playing Super Mario Kart, which, by the way, great game. one that I did, I actually can't believe I did this, and I only remembered last night because a friend reminded me, because she did it as well. I got a body wrap.
What's that?
To lose weight. So basically a body wrap is like, it's like you go to a spa, right?
I've had it done.
No, you haven't.
I have had it done. Yeah.
Connor, are you joking?
Like a seaweed mud bath kind of thing?
Yes. So it's like a seaweed mud bath thing, right?
And cling film.
Well, it's not really cling film. Oh my God, I can't believe you did this. Okay, so it's like herbal ingredients, exfoliants, moisturizer, blah, blah, blah. And then they wrap you up. For me, it was like almost like being wrapped up in like a gauze or something, right?
Okay.
And like very tightly wrap you up, okay? To increase your internal core temperature, right?
Okay.
And basically, it's like you have to drink a lot of water beforehand because essentially you're going to become like dehydrated, but it's water weight you lose.
No way.
Not actual body fat. So this one thing I read, by the way, this cost me so much money. I had to go in like four times to do it.
What?
It was
different to the thing I did, but it was similar.
You were saying it's like it was like some backstreet thing. I was in a proper spa. I went four separate times. So basically, oh, they also asked you not to drink any alcohol, which I didn't do. Like, listen, I'm willing to like wrap my body up in some sort of weird gauze, but I'm not willing to not have a glass of wine.
So, we're like a mummy, basically.
Yeah, like you're lying there, like you're stuck there for like, I think it was like 30 minutes. I couldn't even, wow. Like, I wasn't able to drink anything, go to the toilet. I couldn't move my arms. I just had to lie there. One thing when I looked it up, there's no evidence that a body wrap will help you lose weight.
While you were wrapped up? You're like, oh man, come on.
I couldn't even move my hands. How could I? While you may be down a few pounds after using one, this is mainly due to water loss. As soon as you hydrate and eat, the number on the scale will go right back up. So there's no long lasting weight loss from these wrap sessions.
What?
And like, I just remember lying there and being like, I felt like I was a bloody taco or something. Like I was just lying there like a burrito. Just like, oh, I hope this works. Yeah. So that was it. And then you left with like mud on your neck and up and down your arms. And that was it. Like, you know, I think I paid 150 quid.
For all four sessions or each time?
I'm pretty sure all four sessions. No.
Okay. I had an experience where I was staying in a hotel for work for like 7 weeks, and it was this weird, very strange period in my life. But I was on a workout. It was in the new year, okay. And I was on a workout kind of regime. And I think there was a gym and in the hotel, and you know, I was eating as best I could, and I was probably losing some weight, but I was having lots of plateaus and all that sort of thing. Yeah. But I remember I went to the spa to get a massage because I was like, feck it, I'm working hard, I'm doing nothing else, so I'll have a massage. I had a massage, and then I read they also did this like spa treatment that was like, I can't remember what it was called, some sort of wrap where they basically put like kind of like exfoliating type of like mud or seaweed all over your
that
body.
That sounds exactly like mine, yeah.
And then, but they literally wrap you in cling film. like yesterday's lunch, you know? Like, and then I think they put blankets over you and stuff like that. And you're just sitting in this like, you know, salon, and there's this like 20-year-old, like, you know, cosmetology student just like looking at you going like, yeah, this is a bit strange. But they say it helps get rid of cellulite or cellulose or something like that, you know, like
Jesus,
unsightly belly fat.
Nothing gets rid of cellulite, by the way. It's utter bullshit. Cellulite is meant to be there.
This definitely doesn't. This revolutionary science. But I have to say, you know, it was fine. It was like, oh, I didn't feel like I was doing myself any danger or anything like that. I just felt like, yeah, this isn't going to work. But I think it was like 90 quid, like for that one session.
Yeah, no, it's really expensive, and you're getting nothing out of it. You're being wrapped up. I just felt like a burrito. Like I was like, I was there and I was like, I'm just like, you're just, it's basically like you're putting like mayonnaise on me and then like putting me in a wrap.
Yeah. I think I turned to the girl. I was like, oh, this is mad. I feel like a bit of a wrap or something. And she was just like, deadly serious, like that's not funny, you know. This is not a time for jokes, Mr. Darling.
We're here to make you better. We're here to make you a better person.
It's thinking about raps like that that's gotten you to this situation in the first place. So shut your mouth for once in your life.
Do you want the cellulite gone or not? Because if you don't, keep talking. But if you do, shut your trap.
We can put more on, Connor. We can put more on if that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, I cannot believe you did that, Connor. That is so funny. We've never spoken about this before. Yeah, so did the body wrap. What a bunch of bollocks. Like, come on. Like, what a bunch of bollocks.
Big old bunch of bullshit.
New Year's resolutions. Okay, first, lose weight.
Second, get fit.
Third, meet my birth mother.
Oh, what's the point of making resolutions anyway?
Fear of failing, holding you back from losing weight. Yeah, why spend more money on diets when I'm just going to fail again?
What a great question. Most diet programs use our society's irrational fear of fat to manipulate you into buying their product. But we here at Fear for Your Supper do things a little differently.
Darling, dinner in 5 minutes, all right? I made 3 courses. Oh my God, is that a man standing in my back garden?
All right, mate, it's Judd. I'm going drive through to get some chippy. Do you want anything? Oh, the car behind me's just banged into me.
Fear is nature's appetite suppressant. It's 100% natural and organic.
Oh my God, he's holding a chainsaw.
Mate, I think this guy's trying to run me off the road. His carriage is literally, I will kill you.
Because who has the time to eat when you are running for your life?
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. He's had a chainsaw and my cat's head off. My cat!
Man, he has a rocket launcher now. Man, is he aiming a rocket launcher at me?
Fear for your supper. You'll be so scared for your life that you will literally forget to eat.
Okay, so Grace, I want to talk a little bit about some of the responses in the world that you'll see during the time of New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
So, not only is January known for New Year's resolutions, it also happens to be a time where you can get the best and cheapest fast food deals out of any other time of the year. Cafes
and... In January.
In January.
Okay.
So fast food, cafes and restaurants, this is the time where they go all out to try to get their customers back. Because if the top written resolutions worldwide are... lose weight, eat healthy, yeah, go to the gym. That usually comes with a side of I'm not going to fast food places. And I'll try my best to avoid saying their names because I don't want to give them any advertisement because you know, we've such a massive like following, it would just overwhelm their business.
Listen, absolutely. We can make or break them. We're like Oprah. We're like Oprah's book club. We can make a book or break a book depending on our recommendations.
So I think actually the first time I noticed this, I was in Dublin and I was buying some very fancy bread in December.
Oh.
Very fancy, like sourdough, spelt, dark rye, all the loaves of bread.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to the guys who run a small artisan bakery and he said, January is our worst month for business because what do people give up in their diets? Is bread,
carbs,
right?
Yeah.
People
carbs,
just,
carbs.
Bread is the devil, as we know, after Christmas. So that got me thinking a little bit more. Then I started to notice if you go to your mailbox, your letterbox outside, your physical one, you will see it from January 1st, you will see menus upon menus with discounts, 2-for-1 offers from pizza places. Takeaways, Chinese discounts, all this sort of thing, because they're ramping up their advertising. So what happens is, like, after a big month of spending and feasting over the holidays, it makes sense people are trying to spend less, eat less and eat healthier. But customer hungry fast food chains often see their steepest monthly sales declines and will do just about anything to lure their customers back. And I mean anything, right? So
fast food chain,
I mean anything. Grace.
There's some guy in a van driving around just picking
outside your house
up
right now.
He will do anything to get you into a chipper.
So many people resolve to cook more meals at home and reduce the amount of meals purchased at restaurants. So supermarkets and grocery stores actually expect a massive growth of about 1.2% sales. I think that was in 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
Those were the projected figures. It's probably going to be even more this year because the supermarket industries have like skyrocketed over the pandemic and the restaurant industries have gone down so much, you know, so they really are struggling. And the restaurants end up spending something like 2.2% of their revenue on marketing for these New Year's deals.
Right.
And but weirdly, conversely, health also sells. So one of the things you'll start to notice as well is that businesses will start to pivot in the new year. So after this month of it's the holidays, let's indulge type of marketing, you'll start to see things like refresh your menu and draw attention to your healthier options. So remind diners that they will still be sticking to their resolution by eating at your establishment. So you'll start to see salads, smoothies, protein packed lunches.
Yeah.
All for really, really low prices. So some of the deals and discounts that started in January 2020, just last year in Dublin alone, Italian restaurants, some of the more popular ones, were offering 40% discounts. Some of them were offering buy one main course, get the second main course for €1.
What?
Yeah.
What a great time to date, by the way, can I just say?
There you go.
January, there's best time to ask someone out on a date or a restaurant because you are saving that dough, motherfucker.
I love it. I didn't think of it like that. Thai restaurants in Dublin. There's one in particular that's very popular. They were doing two course lunches for $14.95 with paleo inspired sides. So you'll see that constantly in places. Or they'll offer free drinks. Or you know, the popular fast food places will say if you buy breakfast, we'll give you free coffee, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
I love Gellings, that paleo inspired is just like a slab of meat.
Yeah, it's just a chunk of meat with a cocktail stick in it, like.
Yeah, exactly. Paleo inspired. There's no flavoring. You're like, oh, delicious.
And some of the cafes and delis had this brilliant idea to offer porridge, free porridge and fruit to under 18s.
Oh, wow.
Which is like a really positive thing. It's like, give them that healthy breakfast.
Yeah.
But nothing comes for free. So once we get you in for the healthy breakfast, you'll see that we're selling chicken fillet rolls and wedges meal deal for like €3 or something.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And then
the porridge is deep fried. They're like, we've deep fried the porridge. They're like, I mean, like, it's porridge. We just didn't say how we cooked it. Like, we
and
cooked
the fruit
just in cream.
The fruit are fruit pastilles. So have any fresh fruit pastilles you want, or Skittles.
Yeah.
And then finally, establishments are known to offer groups of diners kids eating free.
Right.
You know, so and then that just made me kind of, you know, imagine the owners being like, how much could a kid eat? And then enter teenage Connor and Grace.
You know that episode of The Simpsons where Homer is like, at the all you can eat. And he's like, it's all you can eat fish. And then they're like, to Marge, what did you do when you left? When you
we
left
went
the restaurant?
Fishing.
We went fishing. Completely, yeah. Like, oh, I always like to push the boundaries when it comes to an all you can eat or kids eat free.
Did you ever go to the famous all you can eat Pizza Hut lunch in town?
No, I never. Oh. I was never a Pizza Hut kid or anything like that.
Well,
no.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's all you can eat. So you will be a Pizza Hut kid after going there.
Yeah.
This was, I would have been going there like kind of in my early 20s. So like, this is like 10 years ago. And I'd go with like groups of college friends and stuff. And at lunchtime, I think from like 12 till 3 p.m., every day for a while, it was on, not Exchequer Street, but kind of around there, you know, where like Avoca and Pacino's and stuff are.
Right.
That street there. There used to be a pizza there. I think it's gone, probably because I ate them out of business. But but they would just keep bringing out pizzas, all different types of pizzas and salads and pastas. And
just,
like,
and what? Like, what age? What was the age? Like, just kids? Like,
No, for everyone. For everyone.
What?
Yeah.
And all you can eat lunch.
But it wasn't free. Like, it was like, you paid like £20 and free refills on all your Coke and Fanta and all that. And it was insane. And you would always come out of there feeling absolutely sick to your stomach. But I don't know what they had to gain from that. Probably just getting rid of like old stock that they needed to like chuck out.
But it just shows you how obviously cheap that food is.
Exactly.
To produce that, like, what crap is in that food that, like, it's so cheap to produce that they're like, oh, give us £20, you can have all of it. Like, it doesn't matter. We're still making a ton of profit off this. Yeah.
So that's just, I think, something I'd love people to be mindful of in the new year is, you know, if you are trying to stick to some sort of, eating regime for your health, and you'll be constantly bombarded with these deals that are just trying to get you to spend more money and eat stuff that might not necessarily be so healthy for you. But, you know, we are trying to like support restaurants and all that sort of thing as well. So
it's a weird one because I think this is the issue, though, with diet culture is the mixed messaging all the time.
Oh, totally.
And I think that's what we're like saying is like, listen, like, one, I actually now I'm just totally against doing a New Year's resolution that has anything to do with weight loss or like being the vague getting fit. I think actually part of your New Year's resolution should be like clapping yourself on the back at all the excellent stuff you've achieved the year before and kind of going, what would I like to achieve that has nothing to do with my looks? Like, you know what I mean? Like it should, you know, because like you are like the fact that it's always about your appearance just to me isn't good. It should be hopefully about something else. But like everyone, the world around you profits off you not being happy with the way you look. So that's what diet culture is. And like when it comes to the New Year's, the restaurants doing this, like it shows you how obsessed we are in this diet culture that restaurants get hit so badly because we are all punishing ourselves for daring to in any way enjoy ourselves the month before. Like that's insane. Like, so it's okay to go into a restaurant and be like, by the way, just because, and this is something I want to drive home because I've read this a few times, just because you ate a lot on Sunday doesn't mean you're not allowed to eat on Monday. And just because you ate a lot in December does not mean you can't eat in January. Oh, you couldn't possibly allow yourself to enjoy an entire month of your life because you enjoyed a month before.
I think one of the things you pointed out that's really important, I think, is to start the new year with looking back over the positives of the previous year and things you can build on, you know, and things that you want more of in your life. Because I think I heard someone recently, it might have been in a film, but someone basically saying about when it comes to aging, they felt like every year of their life, they would look at photos of themselves from the previous year and go, oh, I looked so much better than I do now. But they know that during that time, like when the photo was taken, they were going, I'm too fat. I'm getting old. Yeah. I don't like XYZ about myself. So I think the message around that is to try to enjoy yourself, as in your body and everything that you can about yourself in the present, because, you know, you don't want to be constantly looking back and going, oh, my better times were in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. And enjoy your one anus that you have now. Maybe you'll get a second anus someday. Who knows?
Hopefully.
Hopefully. No, but you're so right. Like this is the whole point of this episode, is that we were like, you know, fad diets are rife in the new year. People who are listening to this right now are probably doing a fast walk and planning the little they're going to eat tonight and planning the little they'll eat tomorrow and feel good about themselves because they've denied themselves, when actually it's like, it's okay to eat and it's okay to enjoy yourself and it's okay to look in the mirror actually at the moment and go, geez, don't I look great?
Also, to add to that, it's also okay for that person to be working out and, you know, eating more fruit and vegetables and salads and things like that. It's just look at the motivation and how it makes you feel, really.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like, that's what I mean about even the binging of December isn't a good mentality. Like, I'm just enjoying my food now, but it also means that I feel that then I don't need to, like, be, like, so restrictive in January. You can do whatever you want, but just make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. And the right reasons are that actually it'll make you feel good, not just because, oh, well, I think I look like shit and everyone else think I look like shit, so I better do something about that.
So Grace, at the start of the show, I mentioned that I wanted to mention something towards the end of the show that might help people with goal setting and achieving things they want to achieve over the course of the next year.
I'm very excited by this, by the way, because you brought this. I didn't know you were even going to talk about this. I feel like this is going to change my life. So I'm ready to take in what the advice you're going to give.
So I love books, Grace. And there was a book that I read last year that was kind of revolutionary for me. It's called The 12-Week Year. Okay. Have you ever heard about this book?
No, I've never heard this in my life. Yeah.
Basically, the idea of the 12-week year is about how individuals and organizations can benefit from avoiding the pitfalls of what's known as annualized thinking, right? So this thing we've been talking about throughout the show where January is this intense all or nothing month.
Yes.
And then December at the end of the year when you're like worn out and tired is also this intense all or nothing month on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And then everything between that is just this like constant kind of ups and downs of the year, right? So, Grace, by avoiding the pitfalls of annualized thinking, you can break up your goals into 3 month or 12 month sections, right?
Okay.
It sounds very simple, and I think it's kind of meant to be simple, right? So this helps you aim for more specific, manageable targets over shorter periods and measure your progress from season to season or from 12 week section to 12 week section, right?
Okay. Yes. Right. I got you. Yeah.
So the typical kind of New Year's resolution that a lot of people would have would be something very broad and vague, like, you know, over the course of next year, I'll lose weight and be healthy. You know, this time next year, I'll be at my ideal weight and I'll look this way and I'll weigh this amount.
Yeah.
But most people struggle to maintain that because, first of all, there's no clear path to that. And because as the year goes on, you get thrown off course with setbacks, ups and downs of life, birthdays, holidays, and free cake day at work. And eventually, before you know it, it's Christmas again, and it's time to feast, time to spend, and you think, oh, you know what? Look, I'll just start again next year.
Yeah.
So with the 12-week year model, you're looking more at goals like, I'm going to go to the gym 3 days a week for the next 12 weeks. And you're just going to leave it at that. Right.
In that
one area.
Yeah.
So you're not expecting this year of magical transformation by the end of 12 weeks, but you might see some small progress towards your overarching long-term goals. And you can also reassess at the end of the 12 weeks and go, right, what worked, what was realistic, what wasn't realistic. It's much more immediate as opposed to going, like, okay, in 12 months time, I'll look back and see what worked and what didn't work.
Yes. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to just be about health and weight management. You know, you can apply it to any aspect of your life. So like, you know, it could be something to do with your career where you go, like, oh, I want to be earning X amount of money by this time next year. Okay, but what are the small achievable actions I can take in 12 weeks?
And it could be something like, I'm going to do this exam, like in work, I'm going to do this exam and I'm going to train for it for the next 12 weeks and I'm going to do the exam and then that'll be done. And then, so that should help me get to, like, you know, if I, like, say in the banking, they have banking exams. Oh, that'll help me get to that new, like, price tier. You know what I mean? That I can earn for. Yeah.
And at the end of those 3 months, you know, mark it with something special, like a weekend away or, you know, a meal with a group of people. Now, obviously, for this year, it was very difficult because at the end of the first 3 month period of 2020, we had a pandemic, as we know. Yeah. So
funny enough, that was my goal.
My goal was
a pandemic.
Stop leaving the house. Stop leaving the house. Shelter in place. And
don't
stop
see your loved ones.
New.
Yeah.
But I honestly think it's something that when I first read about it, a lot of things kind of clicked for me. You know, and it's not gonna solve everyone's problems, but it can help kind of help you avoid those pitfalls of, oh, here we go again. I'm hitting these same kind of beats every year. Once it hits my birthday, there's a big blowout session that throws me off course for the next month. Yeah. And then once it hits this time, you know.
And that thing of, like, you would start to, and it's such a, once again, mentality of diet culture, you start to resent good occasions.
Yes.
You resent your birthday. You resent your friends wanting to spend time with you and possibly buy you a drink and possibly buy you a nice meal. Because you're like, do you know I have a goal?
And this, it's January.
And this enjoyment of my life is getting in the way of it. But it's so funny because, do you know what's a weird thing actually when you say that 12 week thing? Particularly with work, like, I would never come into a year of work and go, right, so I have my whole year planned out when it comes to work. Because work just, we all know, work issues with work come up as they come up. And actually you kind of react to them, or you're able to plan out little projects as the year goes on. But you don't go into a year going like, well, I know exactly what my... And yet we do that with diet. And yet we do that with exercise. We go in and
our
go
health.
Like... Yeah, we're like, oh, we'll go into the whole year with this plan and nothing can divert it. But actually we should be much more flexible, like with work, where we go, like, the only thing you might have at work was, I don't think I want to be in the same job maybe as I'm in right now. You might be like that, and then you'd plan it out, but you wouldn't be like a whole year, like, mentality.
Because so even in that annualized thinking scenario, you know, you go, oh, okay, this time next year, I want to have a new job. But then you get caught up in the year. Christmas rolls around and you go, well, I'm not going to quit my job at Christmas, you know, because that's crazy.
Yeah. That's nuts. Like, but if you were to start being like, okay, well, actually, you know, I don't want to be in this job this time next year. It actually, you start to then kind of go even smaller and you go, okay, well, maybe I'll start sending out CVs now and maybe I'll go to an, you know, you make tiny steps. And we do this with everything in our lives other than diet and exercise.
I know.
Diet and exercise, we go straight to, well, I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow after not working out and do a punishing 40-minute session, not be able to feel my legs, possibly puke, and then maybe hopefully make myself go three times a week. But that 12-week thing is a great way of looking at even like the thing of like, oh, you know, for the next 12 weeks, I'm going to try three times a week. Because 12 weeks, you're like, if you break it down, it doesn't seem as unachievable. And then it becomes a habit. And then next thing you're going for three to the gym three times a week. That's great.
And at the end, at the end of the 12 weeks, you can go, okay, you know what? It actually only made sense for me to go to the gym two times a week, but I'm going to do two walks a week or whatever works for your schedule, you know?
We have a very special guest this, as it's our last episode of the first season of Fad Camp, it's our New Year's episode, it's a very special episode for us. We have a very special guest, and he's actually a member of the Fad Camp team. So I want everyone to say hello, and for him to say hello to all of our listeners, Mr. Darren Lee.
Hello.
Welcome,
Darren. How are you getting on?
So just for anyone who's listening, Darren Lee is our producer, sound engineer extraordinaire. And before we even say, give another introduction, I just want to say he has never been on a diet in his life. The only member of the Fad Camp team who has never been on a diet.
Hence why I was best placed to be the producer of this show, because I have absolutely no knowledge of the subject you're talking about.
Well, welcome, Darren. First question, right? Can I just ask, okay, looking back over the season that we've had, what is the craziest diet do you think that we talked about? The one that surprised you the most?
I remember like hearing the details of the juicing diet and thinking, oh my God, that's the most insane thing I've ever heard. And then, and actually probably our last episode, the potato diet, to me is definitely the most insane of all of them. Connor, you absolute maniac.
Yes. I wear that as a badge of honor.
I think that it's the story of Connor bringing a potato into town on a night out that just makes me
it's just so Irish, so 1847. I love it.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, so the potato diet and juicing was your, and Darren, was there any diet we talked about that would you would be like, maybe I'll try it?
See, I have this air of cockiness about me sometimes that I've been like, if I fucking tried that, I would have fucking nailed it. These two just don't know how to do it.
is that how it is? So we're sitting here talking about it. Darren's like, I could do that.
I'll do a separate podcast where I'll just try all these diets and just nail them. I'm just like, perfect, no bothers.
Can I just say, Darren, you're just giving us ideas for season two where we'll just put you on a diet and you'll
Darren
have to
diets.
Report back.
And then Darren dies season two.
So we're recording our next episode from hospital. Darren's hooked up to a feeding tube.
I don't know if it's just like, beep. Right, and so okay, so you have never ever been on a diet in your life, right? Correct.
I'd say the most I've even attempted of a diet has been that I said I might give up Twixes for Lent. Always fail after like the second week.
What's your Twix habit like, man? Let's get into that.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
I don't know.
Three or four a week, I'd say.
What, really?
Yeah. Oh, I love a good Twix. I'm eating one right now. You just can't see.
So, okay. So you didn't make through Lent then for without.
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't. No.
Have you ever tried? What has been your? So, okay, because you're not a dieter, right? So you are not of the millions of people a year who make New Year's resolution. The first New Year's resolution being lose weight. So, what would be your New Year's resolution that you would go, or would you do any ever?
See, like, I never used to do them because I'm that classic, like, counterculture kind of person. I'm just like, nah, okay, everyone's doing that, so I'll just do something else.
I know the way you're like, you're so counterculture, yet you have a Twix ad.
Yeah. I know, it's the Aldi knockoff Twix, as I. Yeah, but I just do like ones in like March, so like the fucking spring equinox resolution. But I suppose I'd try like the dry January thing, just because more of just a thing of just like I've drank so much over Christmas that I need to take a break from this. So yes. I'd probably do something like that. But yeah, like I don't know, I try and avoid New Year's resolutions if I can, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah.
But
Do you
recognize any kind of, just because when you said it there, do you recognize any similarities between the drinking and quitting drinking and the diet mentalities at all? Like, do you think?
Yeah, well, as in like with the drinking thing with dry January, what I found most stupid about it when I looked at it the last time I did it was just that like February 1st would come along and I'd be like, yeah, let's go out on a big fucking whopper sesh, and I'd just be like hung over for about 4 days. It's like, all right, that's undone all the good work I've done over the last month. So just take it a bit easier, I suppose, is the best way to do it. But if anything, the positive from this year, I suppose, is that there's probably not going to be as many crazy nights over Christmas to be able to do, so there'd be no need for the dry January, hopefully.
I mean, you would have felt like a fool to do dry January that starts 2020 and then realised that actually really could have done with those nights out in January.
A very wet February.
I was swimming and drinking February. Okay, cool. So, right, what we're doing right here is we're all, each member of Fad Camp is declaring a New Year's resolution. A New Year's resolution that has nothing to do with weight loss or appearance or anything like that, and is quantifiable, so that when we come back in season two, in the coming months of 2021, we are able to prove that we are in some way sticking to these New Year's resolutions. Okay, so I will go first.
I'm also
you guys
just
look very nervous.
I'm also just going to say, if I like either of your resolutions a lot, I'll just use that, because my resolution, it's fine, and I'm going to try it. But if I like yours, I'm just going to steal it. So
Okay, well, I'll go first and the men can steal the woman's great idea, which is
thank you.
Been the history of this world.
That's so, society, babes.
So my New Year's resolution. Okay, I have two and I want to talk these. My first one is a very strange one, but I genuinely cannot remember people's names. Like, when I'm introduced to people, and I don't know if this can be a quantifiable one, but when I am introduced to people, and even people I work with, and I, for years, I do not take in their names. Now, I don't know if you guys have this, but I genuinely cannot remember people's names. So my New Year's resolution was to try and just to start remembering people's names and to say their names. Like, there was a guy who I worked with for 4 years in an office, right? His name was Derek. And then the girl, one time I was talking to one of the girls in the office and Derek had left like a week before. She goes, oh, don't you miss Derek? And I was like, who's Derek? And then she went and was like, Derek, you know Derek. And
Derek,
I was there.
He
like,
died?
Never not- met.
And I was sang at his funeral.
You gave a stunning eulogy. No, but I've never. And she kept being like, he sat over there. Nothing. And then she went, he left last week, and I was like, oh, his name was Derek. Like, I had never put that into my brain. So
I've been calling him Crandall.
Crandall. So that is one New Year's resolution. Now, I don't know how I'm going to quantify it, but I am literally going to start, when people introduce me to someone, I'm going to look them in the eye. I'm going to repeat their name back to them. And that try and keep that in my head.
That is such a power move. And you know who does that? And you'll love this. The Happy Pear Twins do that so
much. Oh, really?
If you ever meet them, I swear to God, it's like when you tell a Happy Pear Twin your name, I've met them once or twice in their cafe. I'm not pals with them or anything. I wish I was. But if you tell them your name, it's like throwing them a tennis ball that has your name on it, and then they like throw it back and forth to each other and then throw it back to
right.
you going, Connor, oh Connor, hey Connor, how's it going Connor, oh what's the story,
nice.
And it makes
and they're like,
you
hey
feel,
Big C, and you're like, thanks man, yeah.
It makes you feel so acknowledged.
Okay.
And it's you know, say what you will about those guys, but when someone looks you in the eye and says your name back to you, it's really like, oh, they're really like, they're into me, you know?
Yeah.
Not in a,
yeah.
a weird way, but like,
oh, they really like me.
I'm important.
Connor's
what
like,
I'm trying
listen,
to say.
Connor's like, I've had a threesome with the Happy Pair Twins, is what I'm trying to say.
I've been blocked on their Instagram page at this stage.
Hey guys, it's Big C here. You haven't gotten back to me.
Like Stan.
But okay, yeah, so that is a New Year's resolution I want to keep. I am, because normally what I do is I don't repeat their name. I sort of go, shit, what was their name again? And then hopefully someone will say it at some point. But I've done this so many times. It means that I don't look people in the eye. I don't actually talk to them properly because I'm so embarrassed that I haven't recalled their name. Another one as well as part of this is if it's a foreign name that I haven't heard before, I get really, I just get really like embarrassed and I just don't say that. I sort of mumble it and I'm like, no, okay. I want to be like, and even if I do go, listen, I'm sorry to offend you, but could I actually get that pronunciation again? Because I know I'm not doing it right or something. And just really keep the person's name. So that's my first New Year's resolution. I think it's a flipping good one. That could probably possibly change my life. Okay.
Just to respond to that as well. I think, you know, I've been in those situations before. I've been on the other side of people not remembering my name. I've not remembered people's name before. And honest to God, I think like it's better to go, sorry, what was your name again? Oh, brilliant. Yeah. And then repeat it.
Yeah.
Because I think people will be like, oh, they're making the effort. Because sometimes you just don't catch it first time around. But then the other thing as well is like, I mean, there are actually lots of techniques that people who struggle with kind of short term memory things that will employ to have a better memory and remember people's names. Like, you know, there's this guy called Jim Quick who does all these like feats of like memorization. Well,
that's a name
like that.
I will remember. Jim Quick is a fantastic name.
He's amazing. He has this whole like amazing backstory about how he had like kind of brain damage as a young child and he was told he would never, you know, be like a good student in school and all that. Now he's like this sort of like thought kind of coach and genius and all that. But he has videos on YouTube where he talks about how he like remembers people's names and that sort of thing by picking out aspects of like their appearance. Maybe it's their hair, that they've got glasses or something like that. So
where he's like, Harry with hair.
Stuff like probably,
Harry,
you know,
Harry. Yeah.
Like it seems stupid, but chances are the stupider something is, the the more likely you'll remember it. Like.
Well, I like the thought of someone doing a Lifetime movie about this Jim Quick guy where they're like, you'll never remember people's names, Jim. Yeah. He's like, I will. I'll prove you wrong, Dad. You know what I
mean? My name's Mom.
Okay, so that's the first one, right? So that's great. I'm going to look up some techniques and that's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to try to remember people's names this year and I'm going to do it. My second one is I want to read a lot more, okay? Big reader, not as big as you're a bigger reader than me, Connor. But I was about to say John. Once again, that fucking name thing.
Grace, what the hell?
So I'm giving myself a challenge to read 50 books next year.
Oh,
50 books in 2021. So that is nearly a book a week that I have to read.
What's your current record?
I've read 50 books in my entire life.
Okay.
No. I have to say, I can be a very avid reader. It's just something where I notice it, where I go through periods of like reading books, great. And then other periods where I'm just like, I think I'll just watch something instead. And actually, I don't know about you guys, but I hate meditation. I can't do any of that sort of stuff, right? My form of meditation is reading. I find that if I'm reading, I'm sort of like, I'm really calm. Yeah. I'm really relaxed. I'm just sort of like, I'm in the moment because I'm very concentrating on the book.
Wow.
So I think 50 books next year, 2021. And I'll remember the name of each book. That's also a thing I have to do. So those are my New Year's resolutions. What about yourselves?
My thing, like, I mean, I will have resolutions, you know, kind of in my personal and professional life that I'm not going to bore you with today.
You're going to become a male prostitute. I've heard it. Yeah.
that's both personal proud of you, and professional.
Yeah.
That's personal and professional. So that ticks two boxes. But I have ironically, I'm reading this off my smartphone, but I have a bit of a compulsion towards using my smartphone. Like it's not even like I'm doing anything productive with it, but I have a bit of like a can't stop checking my phone kind of buzz. I don't know if you guys experienced that.
No, I'd be quite much. Similar.
No, I think you're the only person I've ever heard of who's experienced.
Yeah. That's a rare disease, Connor.
Wait, what? Your phone? You weirdo.
Oh, thank God I'm not the only one. Yeah, no, you're totally right. It is something that a lot of people experience, but I think during lockdown as well, a lot of time at home and stuff like that, it's kind of gotten probably worse than ever. And it's not particularly like debilitating, but I feel like at times I'm like doing it, I'm like, I'm better than this, you know, like, what am I like, you know, some like lab rat in a cage, like,
just
you know?
a time waster.
Yeah,
essentially.
It's like running on a hamster wheel or something like that, you know, and it is. I do think if you were to kind of, you know, count up all of the time that you spent cumulatively on the phone, you would see you're losing hours per day.
Oh,
you know? So I am good. But at the same time, you do need a phone to communicate with people. You know what I mean? Like take phone calls and make texts. So my plan is to have 3 days a week with no smartphone. And
wow.
I have another phone that is like a burner, you know, like a little Nokia kind of 3210 kind of thing.
Nice.
That has no features, basically. Although like,
is that for like your drug dealing? I'm like, why do you have that phone?
I have it because, and it's a new one. Like, you know, I got it like 2 years ago or something, you know, it's not like from like ages ago. But the reason I have it is because when my phone was off being repaired, you know, if my phone broke, I had it just to get by. And I was like fucking playing Snake on it and shit. It's like, you know? So, but still, but like, you know, there's only so many games of Snake you can play before you just go, right, feck this. I'll just like go inward or something, explore my mind or some boring shit like that. So that's kind of going to be a big thing for me is because so there's going to be times where I need the phone. Sorry.
Yeah. No. So 3 days, no phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But you'll have your Nokia in case someone calls you.
Pretty much, yeah, just to get by, like, you know.
That's good. Yeah.
Thanks.
Cool. Yeah.
See, like, I think the problem with smartphones is though, like, so like even like I would actually do a bit of meditation myself, but
oh cool.
I found the problem with meditation is that you're using your phone to do the meditation. Yes. So like during like a 10-minute meditation session, your phone will just start buzzing and you're like, gonna have to get that, and it's like defeats the point. And it's the same like as in like I'd go on walks to get away from my phone, but I'd be using Spotify to listen to music on my phone, and it's just so like one of my plans actually for next year was to get an iPod and go back to 2005 just try and like actually use that, so I'm just completely away from the phone.
Okay, really? This is so funny. Okay, so your New Year's resolution is to use an iPod.
Yeah.
And I love if you were like, no, a disc, man.
Cassette.
I have a backpack for all
just
the
a boombox.
And...
yeah, you're like, I'm just gonna bring my record player out on my back and start playing it. Okay, so you're gonna get an iPod. This is such a technical question because so do you use Apple iTunes or whatever?
So this is where the complication lays in it is that I don't have any like music post 2007 on my computer.
Right.
So while I'm also bringing the tech back to 2007, I'm also bringing my music taste back to 2007. So
bit of Green Day.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. God, that American Idiot album was great.
Hey guys, have you guys heard of this American Idiot album? It's
you too. Everyone loves them.
I hope they download my new album onto my phone straight away. Are
you just going to have an iPod with that free U2 album and that's all you have for 2020?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The U2 iPod.
Okay, so
I'm at a place called Vertigo.
Okay, so Connor's New Year's resolution is to only use his phone 4 days a week, basically. You're off your phone for 3 days a week. And then you're playing Snake for the other 3 days. And then Darren, you're going to use an iPod for walks, is it? For walks.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how I'll get my... Oh, I could actually throw my meditations onto my iPod.
Yeah.
Ah,
I love
good.
It. If you think want me that. To record any meditations for you, like some guided meditation, I'd be happy to do the voice. I think
you could actually ring me on your 3310 while I'm on the walk and do the meditation.
But here's a question, guys. Do you have any advice for how I should... go by doing this 3-day thing? Do you think I should do like, you know, a 3-day weekend without the phone, or one day kind of like Monday, like every other day, or
what? Well, one thing I would say, right, when it comes to work, because this is the thing that we're confusing about phones, this idea that you have to be contactable all the time, right? So I have this thing where my sister doesn't answer her phone that much, and it drives me nuts. But her whole point is that she's like, why should I be contactable all the time?
Yeah.
She's like, it's okay that you have to wait for me to respond to your WhatsApp an hour. Like, I don't have to respond straight away. This idea that we have to respond, and even emails and stuff. Actually, like, it's okay for you to, like, the day you don't have your phone, someone can call you if there's an emergency, or if someone's ringing you for a job, because I know you're a freelancer, they can call you. Other than that, if they're sending an email, emails, you're allowed to wait a day or two. Like, you can look at your laptop and go, oh,
emails have lost their urgency.
Yeah, like, so it's this weird thing where we're like, you have to answer someone straight away. When actually it's like, no, you can go check your emails, and like the way people used to check answering machines when they came home, you can go check your emails when you come home. You don't need to be so contactable that minute. So I think that's what you need to get into the habit of, is that just be like, yeah, the day, like, I'm not going to miss out on work because someone can call me if they really need me straight away. Other than that, it's going to be on an email, so I can just check it when I get home.
And you know what, Grace? Yeah. I think in keeping with my own advice around the 12-week yearbook, I think I will set this as a 3-month kind of goal. And at the end of the 3 months, I'll reassess and I'll go, okay, how did that work in practice? Were there days where I felt like I was stuck? Were there days where I felt like I actually didn't need my phone at all? Yeah. Could I trim it down? And then look at my behavior as well. I go, on the days that I am using the phone, is it like a crazy diet where you're like, quick, it's my cheat day, eat all you can eat and use the phone as much as possible? And do I feel deprived on my days off, or am I noticing any changes? So at the end of the 3 months, I'm going to do
At the end of 3 months, all three of us have to do a mini episode where we come back and go, okay, so our New Year's resolutions, how are we getting on with them?
That's great. That's really good. Yeah.
Okay. No, I think that's a great idea. And I'd say it'll change a lot. I think you'll notice a lot of changes when you actually ditch the phone for a bit. I cannot wait to see this iPod idea.
I love it.
I'm so, you know what it is? I can't wait for Darren to be on a walk. The looks he's going to get with that iPod.
It's 100
you
songs.
You seeing the scroll wheel, guys?
50,000 songs I've got on this, and everyone's like, no one cares, man. I remember I used to watch, like, when I was traveling through the States one time, and like, I had an iPod. I used to watch films on the iPod.
Wow.
That tiny screen. Like, insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to have a Creative Zen. Did you ever have a Creative Zen?
No.
That was the idea. I remember the Creative Zen.
Oh
yeah.
My God. It's like,
we don't speak that word on this show.
No, I was a big Creative Zen guy. You know, I was always the one who's like, if everyone had like an Xbox, I had a PlayStation. If everyone had, you know, a Nintendo, I had a Sega.
You're countercultured, like, than me.
You're like Darren with that counterculture thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not even by choice. I wasn't like, oh, well, I'm just going to do the opposite. I was just like, oh, shit, did I miss the memo that this thing was cool?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I had a Creative Zen, and lots of songs, lots of movies. I was downloading music, discographies of fucking Blue Oyster Cult and Thin Lizzy and shit like that. Those were the good days.
Like, I remember we used to Mitch off, like, exactly. He's the number one listener, actually.
I hear Darren Lee's going to be on this episode. I can't wait to find out what he's been up to.
But yeah, we used to take days off.
If he's been Mitching.
We used to take days off in like sixth year of secondary school. And I just go drive to like some random spot in my friend's car, and we just sit there and watch films on like either an iPod or like a PSP. It was just like, what are we doing? Yeah.
Anything to not be in school, even to be uncomfortably close to someone in a car, craning your neck to try watch something. That is so funny. Kids today don't know what it was like. Right. Okay, so we have our New Year's resolutions. Fantastic. And this is just an example to everyone that New Year's resolutions don't have to be the same three things that they are every single year. And we'll see how we get on with it. So that's all from us at Fad Camp at the end of our season one, you guys. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much to every single listener who listened with us. We actually were so bowled over by the response to the podcast and how many people have listened. Please tell your friends about it. shared on Instagram, recommended on Spotify, whatever you can do, on Grindr, TikTok, whatever's out there, please recommend us. Every listener counts these days. So thank you so much for sticking with us in season one. And thank you, Connor and Darren, for creating the show with me.
Thank you, Grace and Darren, so much for this incredible experience. It's been so much fun. I feel like I've learned a lot about myself and about you guys and about diet culture and all of the crazy stuff we've been putting ourselves through for years. Thanks so much to the listeners. I have gotten a lot of messages from people who've complimented us on the show. They love so many things about it. And I even got a very nice Christmas card this year from Ooh. My pal and colleague Niamh Dennis, who's a listener. I hope she's listening. And she said, I hope she doesn't mind me saying, but she said, thanks for Fad Camp. It's been great company over the past few months during the lockdown. So you're welcome, Niamh, and thanks so much for your lovely words and Christmas card. And hope everyone has a lovely new year and stay safe and keep on keeping on.
And we, well, of course, we'll have the last words from Darren.
Well, I just think this like whole series has been a great insight into something I've never even thought about before. So I want to thank the pair of you for just being so honest, as well as providing me with some hilarious entertainment over the last few weeks. And
I'm glad you've enjoyed our trauma, Darren. Okay, thank you so much. And a happy new year to everyone.
With none of this was ever meant to be comedic. I thought we were just sharing painful. Wait, have people been laughing at this? What?
Oh, it's number one in the comedy podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Fad Camp, brought to you by Grace Mulvey, Connor Dowling, and producer and sound engineer extraordinaire Darren Lee.
With new episodes released every 2 weeks, you can find us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you choose to listen to your podcasts.
If you want to get in touch with the show, email us at fadcamppodcast@gmail.com or find us on Instagram and Twitter at fadcamppodcast.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.